Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, who could have guessed it? The Galactic Star Cruiser has sold out of all of its remaining dates.
It's popular again. Yay!
People want what they can't have.
I mean, is that not... If there's one thing Disney knows, it's if you want to make something popular, just get rid of it.
So what happens now? Do they say like, oh my gosh, due to our overwhelming popularity, the Galactic Star Cruiser comes back and is available forever?
No.
No way.
I mean, yeah. at the point where you made the decision to close this thing, like you're not turning that ship around.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I don't know though. At the same time, I kind of get it because I'm going to be real with you. There was a part of me that was like, if I want to ever see this, now's my only chance. Should I?
So you have people like that, and then you have all of the people who had booked outside of, you know, or after September 30th, who, you know, booked before then. So you do have a lot of people who had already booked who have, you know, given the option, decided to rebook for before the closure, obviously. But yeah, I'm quite sure most of this is people going, oh my gosh, it's going away forever. Like, you know, yeah, it's expensive, but oh man, you know, I gotta do it. And it is worth noting, all of the 30% discounts and everything that were announced are gone now. The only option is to pay full price. So they are getting, I guess, as much as they can out of this thing before it closes forever.
I'm honestly kind of surprised that they didn't set up some sort of farewell cruise or something like
that.
Yeah,
it would have been nice to have the September 28th to 30th cruise, as far as I can tell, sold out pretty quickly. But yeah, it would have been nice for them to have some kind of special thing for the last one. And they might still, you know, that last three days.
I'm just saying they would want to do it and upcharge for it, right? Like
upcharge,
suddenly it was going to be twice as expensive for that final farewell cruise, but you'll also get, you know, a JPEG that you can download of a free photo.
The last weekend is $100,000 per person. Please, 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 please.
But people need this. Like, they would sign up for it. You know they would.
Yeah.
You charge twice as much. You fill up three quarters of the ship, quote unquote.
You
still made more money. So
it's so crazy. You know, like listening to other people speculate about what's going to happen to this place. Obviously, the idea of it turning into another hotel or a meeting space or anything, stuff we talked about last week. And at the end of the day, like, it's just not good for any of that.
Yeah, it is good for this one thing. And that's about it.
And so, yeah, what are they going to do with it? Who knows? They might just abandon it and it never gets used for anything else again. You know, and you know, eventually it gets torn down and something else gets put in its place.
And we'll see how many people get, lifetime bans from Disney for posting videos on YouTube a year.
It becomes,
as they sneak into it.
It becomes the River Country of Hollywood Studios. So, yeah, it's just really, it's really strange, you know, what's going to happen to this building that was made for this. And do they just leave all the stuff and write it all off or what? You know, like after September 30th, you know, it's not just from a money perspective, like what's it worth, but it's also from an accounting perspective. Like, can they, you know, I'm not an accountant, I don't know, but can they do anything with it? Are they allowed to? Is there something in the accounting law that says, you know, if you're going to write this building off, you literally can't do anything else with it for years? I don't know. Does this building just have to sit and be nothing? I have no idea, but man, it just feels like such a waste.
So one thing I am kind of wondering about, let me just go ahead and precursor this with, Missing the Mouse neither condones nor suggests any sort of illegal activity. How much stuff do you think is going to disappear on that last cruise?
Yeah. Yeah, how many forks and knives and plates?
I have this weird feeling that anything that ain't nailed down, like somebody tried to walk off with, well, actually, nailed down or not nailed down, because you remember the sign from Splash, right, that some guests tried to walk off
people
with.
People are clearly not afraid of nailed down things.
That was nailed down. Yeah. And how much random stuff are you going to see on eBay on October 1st?
Yeah. And how many cast members are going to go, no.
I'm kind of interested.
Stop. No, what are you doing? Stop. Don't take that.
Oh, darn. They got away. And I tried so hard and went so far, and it didn't even matter.
Wow. Was that a Linkin Park reference?
It would have never been. I would never try to slip something like that.
Wowzers.
So, Jeremy, as we talk about some things ending, we can also talk about some things re-beginning.
Yeah. Rock and Roller Coaster soft reopening has occurred. And from what I have seen, Disney is apparently not allowing any photographs or videos on the attraction itself. But this refurbishment has almost certainly laid to rest any retheming ideas we had, because they have repainted the pre-show. They have repainted all of the black light things in the ride itself. And basically, other than redoing the audio, the speakers, amplification, stuff like that, they've basically refreshed this entire thing. And from what I've seen written, the repainting of the like neon effects and stuff in the ride looks incredible, and it like breathes new life into Rock and Roller Coaster. So I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, I'm excited about my next ride if they redid all of that, because, well, I don't think I ever actively thought, man, this is starting to fade and show its age a bit. Thinking back on it, I'm like, yeah, it could have been a little bit brighter and a little bit more vibrant. So I'm all for it. I'm just happy to see it reopen with Aerosmith still in it.
Yeah, I had the same thought, where like I've never really found myself thinking like, man, this could really, you know, use a repainting. But in that context, thinking, yeah, you know, it was maybe a little dull. It wasn't, you know, popping the way that it could. And so it wasn't popping the way that it could. And so thinking like, maybe, yeah, an extra coat of paint could, you know, do some good.
Yeah. And again, Aerosmith is still there. I can breathe a sigh of relief that I didn't somehow miss a covert change. That said, even with them doing this, I'm not sure this puts all the retheme talk to bed. I think that it says the retheme didn't happen here. I haven't heard anything about Disney renewing any contracts, and maybe it's too soon for, I don't know. I'm not a contractologist, but...
So I don't think that they would have taken the time to repaint the pre-show. That's what gets me, is, yeah. So they would repaint the neon stuff in the ride, but for them to repaint the pre-show, and they've added like little knickknacks and they've dusted everything and it looks apparently, you know, very nice, that seems like a bridge too far for something that was a temporary, you know, sprucing up of the attraction. So I don't know. I think because they did stuff in the Aerosmith pre-show, this is the, you know, a major retheme change type of deal is a little farther off than maybe we thought initially.
Okay, I get that, but with all of the different ideas that we have floated, the one that is coming more and more into my brain at this point, especially with the new Disney Plus show,
Dr. Teeth,
how hard would it really be to change the video for the pre-show to be Dr. Teeth and then change a little bit of audio.
Oh, gosh. And,
that's they're true. They're having their concert in L.A. So, you know, there is nothing that is Aerosmith specific about any of the stuff on the ride. Right. So all of that refresh still hangs out. So it's you change a couple of posters.
Yeah. Huh.
A little bit here and there, like 3 weeks and you could have that rethemed.
The only thing that's Aerosmithy in the pre-show is Aerosmith.
Right, and that's a video.
If Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. Sorry,
not safe for magic. It's a video.
If Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem were back there, even saying the exact same thing.
Yes, exactly.
That would still, you know, there would be
I so want that to be. Can
even,
you
even the license
just
plates.
Think about that.
The license plates are not Aerosmith specific. Huh, yeah. It really wouldn't take any real effort at all to change that to anything.
So I'm
you're blowing my mind, Brad.
Nobody gets super comfy with, all right, they reopened as Aerosmith, everything is safe now.
Especially
anytime. Yeah, with everything going on with Steven Tyler, I'm just saying I would not sleep easy.
Well, and with this new show. That would be a really good, what is it?
Synergy, baby.
Yeah, I had not even thought about that. But yeah, there's nothing that is written in, there's nothing that is what printed or, you know, created, made in real life that is Aerosmith specific. The Aerosmith is all audio and video and... Yeah.
Well, again, there are some posters. There's some stuff on the signage, but it would not take a whole lot to retheme what they would need to retheme.
Yeah. That's hilarious. Man, that ride is so ingrained as Aerosmith that I've never even considered like how much is actually Aerosmithy about it. But yeah. You take the featuring Aerosmith off the sign and then do a little bit here and there and it's anything.
And suddenly it's featuring Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
Which is IP that Disney owns and it doesn't have to license and all that stuff. Yeah.
It's so weird how after the refurb, it's all green sleeves and happy birthday in each one of the cars.
What, Rock and Roller Coaster featuring copyrighted material. Every car sings happy birthday to you.
Contributing, featuring fair use.
Yeah. We've got 10 seconds of popular songs, one after the other. That'd be like you remember way back in the day, you fall asleep on a Saturday night and you wake up at 3 a.m. and the album with all the greatest hits is playing.
They're trying to infomercial or whatever.
Yeah, that's what it'd be like.
10 CD set.
Yeah, they're playing 10 seconds of Islands in the Stream and then some Journey and then just enough that it's fair use.
Man, can they get Journey? That would be kind of good.
They certainly have enough hits. But
I don't know. I haven't checked the background on Journey. Again, I really feel like at this point, Disney's going to be like, we'd rather not deal with an actual artist or band.
To your
anymore.
Point, it could be anybody, but I think if they're going to change it, they're going to make it some fictional band that they own the rights to. Because if it's Dr. Teeth, they never in a million years have to worry about IP and they never have to worry about licensing. They own it. And if
until Dr. Teeth goes into the public domain.
Well, sure.
So in 2022, they might have to change it again.
There's one more thing, and I can't believe we missed this last week. But we were talking about, you know, and maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I don't remember. But we were talking about the removal of park reservations as a requirement in 2024. I cannot believe we missed that Disney is already this year, summer 2023, selling $99 a day tickets, single park, but $99 a day tickets that don't require park reservations. So you can already, in summer of 2023, purchase these special tickets that don't require park reservations. And I mean, we've talked at length about park reservations and, you know, the mea culpa that Disney's doing, saying that we're doing all these things to make your visit easier. But I can't believe we missed the fact that you can already purchase these $99 a day tickets and not have to do park reservations with these specific tickets.
Okay, so in our defense, as I was looking up the information on these tickets, the earliest I could see anybody talking about them was May 15th. So 2 weeks ago, we wouldn't have even known about it because we would have recorded on the 14th. So we might be okay. This may have come out, or at
most,
are
you saying
it was
we're
like
not failures?
I didn't say that. I said in this case, it's possible that the information came out after we would have been able to have access to it. But it also could have been last week, in which case, yeah, we should have had access. But Disney puts out a lot of different tickets.
All that being said, though, I think the big thing here is a positive, and that, like, you can already purchase tickets that don't require park reservations. And I have seen, between friends of mine who have gone to Walt Disney World this summer and just watching the, you know, quote, park news, the crowds are down, man. Like, crowds are real low. I had a friend who went, and she did not wait in, like, any attraction in the Magic Kingdom, minus Tron. She did not wait more than an hour. And she said, like, it was the greatest time she's ever had in the Magic Kingdom this summer. And, yeah, crowds appear to be pretty low for summer 2023. So I'm glad that they're doing this. I'm glad that there's tickets you can buy that don't require park reservations. But, you know, I'm a little bit happy, too, that something is happening where, even more than just saying, like, we're making these changes for 2024, that, you know, maybe, like, they're admitting that, yeah, you know, let's do it right now. Let's make this available right now for people. You can have these tickets. Yeah, they're one park a day only, but you can buy these today that don't require park reservations.
Okay, so that's the happy take about it. and it's a valid, it's definitely a valid take.
Bring me down, man. Bring
me
down.
On the on the other side of this coin, though, Jeremy, they are already selling a ticket that does not require park reservations. So that means that they are already introducing uncertainty into the number of people that will be coming into the parks. And if they can introduce uncertainty into that, then the need to know the number is not real, and they could get rid of park reservations today.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
No, that makes sense.
Like, if you don't really have to... Now, there is an argument to be made that the number of people that will know about this and take this deal is a very small percentage of the overall, and if 5% uncertainty, you know, that's not the same as 100% uncertainty.
I mean...
I get that, but come on.
The only point I would make is that for 60 years prior to 2020, like, yeah, nobody cared about the futures of how many people would be at Magic Kingdom.
Right. And so, and you did need to know during COVID and all of that stuff, because the number of people that you could have in the park and keep the proper distancing protocols and everything in place was going to be lower. And so you wanted to get as many people on property each day as possible.
Right.
And so you wanted to know how many people were going to be in each park.
This, I think I'm sorry to interrupt you, but the lesson for me is this should have been a COVID thing, and that would have been fine. But for them to say, like, at the beginning of 2022 or 2023, for them to say, hey, we're done. You know, park reservations are over. That was a COVID protocol thing. You know, we understand that was a bummer and it's over now, you know, whatever. But I think the only misstep, you know, is that they're doing this ticket, you know, this special ticket, like you said, that, you know, you have to know about to buy. And then 2024 kind of gets rid of it completely. But yeah, I just, they could have been more forthright about like, hey, this was a very special thing we did. It was, you know, extenuating circumstances. But okay, now we're back to, you know, pick whatever park you want. We don't care kind of thing.
Which, by the way, if you know somebody who is, I mean, and possibly even you, but I know that there are a lot of people that have gone to Disney before that are just going to go for a two or three. It's a lot more common to skip a park, but there are also a lot of people who are going to make their summer vacation trip to Disney, and maybe they only want to do 4 days. This is the way to do it. Like, don't get a 4 day park hopper. They need to buy this because it's, I think, a pretty decent deal, especially given what the summer tickets typically cost.
$100 a day? It's a really good deal.
Right. I'm not sure what a 4 day base make your magic whatever ticket is, right? What it's going to be right now.
I'm fairly certain it comes out to average $100 a day.
So you're gonna work with about the same. Now, the other thing that I saw about these tickets, I haven't tried to buy one, but the way that they describe it is the ticket will expire 7 days after its first use or September 29th, whichever comes first.
Yeah.
Which means that essentially it is a summer ticket.
It's for the summer only. Yes.
That is a, Jeremy, you're missing. That is another huge thing. This is a ticket that does not require that you tell Disney a start date.
Right. Yeah. As long as you, by the time you start it, you have 7 days.
Right. So if you, that's another big deal to me about buying this ticket. Because,
well, yeah, but you're the guy who has held on to tickets for years.
No, but so what I'm saying, though, is like, imagine on your last trip.
Yeah.
That your daughter got super sick on the plane ride, and thus you couldn't do your first day, and you only had 4 days, and you had already bought with your starting date being the other date. Then you got to go to guest services, try to talk to them. And I do think that there's enough of a buffer there where you can shift it a day, if I recall correctly, right? And you would still be okay. But imagine that, you know, there's some sort of family emergency and you need to stay home. I know that Disney will work with those things. I know that you can reschedule a ticket, but imagine that you didn't have to do any of that stuff.
Yeah, dude.
That you just said, you know what? Granny fell down and you know, nicked her hip and is going to need me around to help her for 2 weeks. We're just going to move our trip 2 weeks. We've got to worry about the airline tickets, but it doesn't matter about the Disney tickets because they're good whenever.
This is the same thing I was talking about last week. This flexibility and like us talking about things that used to get me really energized about Disney. Like, this is classic. We don't care when you start it. You have 7 days from when you start it, but we don't care what the start date is. You know, like, I am really just energized by this, you know, by these announcements that seem to be customer focused. You don't have to tell us when you're going to start it. Just know that you have a week or whatever from when you do. I love it. I think this is great. And I hope that this is carried on.
Yeah, I would like to see this carried on and not just be a special. Now, I will point out that there are two sets of blackout dates in this one. I believe it's July 4th, like the 1st or the 4th, and then is the other one Labor Day weekend,
yeah,
I think?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, but again, if you're thinking about this ticket, be aware of these, or if you're going to be recommending this ticket to somebody that you know, be aware of those things. But other than that, this is a really good deal.
Yeah.
And yeah, like you, Jeremy, I'm excited to see them playing with these sorts of ideas again. I just, now I'm ready. Okay, let's bring this more mainstream day-to-day tickets.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. I am worried about 2025. I know this is 2023 when we record this, but I'm worried about when Epic Universe opens in Orlando. Because between the, you know, they're going to have a Deku Tree for Zelda fans. They're going to have Super Mario World. They're going to have that Donkey Kong roller coaster. Like, Universal is going to have a very compelling long-term stay. Universal's value resorts are awesome. They're really good. Their Cabana Bay is great. And I think that come 2025, when Universal Orlando has Diagon Alley and Hogsmeade and Super Nintendo World, Disney's got a lot to worry about. And the thing that really gives me hope is that now in summer of 2023 and beginning in 2024, we're getting back to the early 2000s Walt Disney World, the value that, you know, I could tell family members and friends, like, hey, this is why you should do a week trip at Disney and not worry about Universal for this trip necessarily. And I'm excited to get back to that because, yeah, there was a time when I told people, yeah, you should plan this trip to Orlando to just go to Disney, and then you should plan another one to do Universal, Cape Canaveral, stuff like that. You know, like, make Universal part of your Central Florida trip, but make the trip that you're planning for Disney a Disney-only trip. And again, you know, like we talked about with the dining plan, with all that stuff, I'm like feeling energized about all of the talking about Disney in a way that we would have talked about it in 2012, 2014. It feels really good. And
God, we've been talking about Disney for a long time.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And so it makes me feel good, and it makes me feel excited for the competition again, because honestly, in the last 3 or 4 years, Universal's been killing it. And I feel like,
Disney's been getting trounced.
Yeah. And I feel like
the thing that we don't talk about over here is Universal's been knocking it out of the park lately, guys.
And like Velocicoaster really seems like probably the best roller coaster in the last 5 years or so. If they could have gotten a Super Nintendo World built in the last, you know, year or so, they probably would have. Universal's really been killing it. So I'm excited to see the competition, you know. And I've never been to Universal Orlando, but in 2025, when Super Nintendo World opens, I am planning on making a trip, you know, to do Hogsmeade and Diagon Alley and Super Nintendo World and stuff like that. So I don't know. I just, it really excites me that this, I feel like Universal has taken the last 3 years to really like ramp up what they're doing, and Disney has kind of felt like they're stagnant. But in the last 6 months, there's some movement that feels like Disney's really getting back into it. And maybe in 2025, instead of me going like, oh my gosh, there's no question I'm going to make Universal the priority, maybe in 25, 26, there's some, you know, some like, maybe I don't know that it's exactly or entirely, you know, what I'm worried about. You know, maybe Disney has some competitive edge again. I don't know, but it feels good.
I don't know, man. Maybe they do, but not to turn into a different kind of podcast, but I'm also kind of looking forward to Super Nintendo World. And I have already pretty much figured that that's going, I know. I worked there. This is sad to say, but I have not been to Universal Orlando. And just like you, the plan is for that to change once Super Nintendo World is open.
So I was, I'm not going to lie, disappointed in Super Nintendo World in Hollywood. But looking at the plans of Super Nintendo World in Epic Universe in general, in Universal Orlando, it looks pretty good. I'm really excited for, like, to see not only the Hogsmeade Diagon Alley stuff, but to see what they can do with Nintendo, given the extra space they have in Orlando. I'm really excited about looking at it, because I know in Hollywood they're very space constrained the way that Disneyland is, but Epic Universe is going to be huge, and they have, you know, the Deku Tree planned for Zelda fans, which they don't have in Hollywood, and they have the Donkey Kong roller coaster, which, if they pull it off, is going to be the most insane, cool roller coaster that's ever been built. And like, honestly, I hope Universal pulls off Epic Universe in Orlando, because it looks really cool. And I think it's going to be the fire that Disney needs in Orlando to really get back into the innovation game, because in the recent past, we've had Tron, which has taken 7 years to build, and what else? Skipper Canteen? Like, it's just, I think the fire of competition needs to get relit so that we can have some really cool stuff happening in Orlando.
Yeah, I want it, but I don't know, Jeremy. The one thing that worries me is, if Super Nintendo World is successful, what is Disney's response to that? Are we going to get
Sega
Sonic?
Genesis World? Yeah,
exactly,
dude.
Exactly what I was thinking.
I'm talking about Sonic the Hedgehog. We got Knuckles. We got Tails.
Man, if there was a fur character of of pre remake Sonic from the Chip and Dale movie. All right, there you go. Disney's won again. Because, I mean, you get that guy, you got to go get a picture with him.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. And you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.